Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya. As I told you, I would bring my bell, but it's a little not right. Let's see if this is better. That's the best it'll do. So what I'd like to do is give a summary of the Nrisimha Leela. There's a verse in the first canto, a verse in the second canto. There's a few verses in the fifth canto, but the main complete story is there in seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. It comprises 10 chapters, and the setting of the scene is interesting because we start with Krishna Leela, the Rajasuya sacrifice performed by Maharaj Yudhisthira, and it was at that occasion that Shishupal was killed by Krishna because Shishupal objected to Krishna receiving the Agra Puja, the first worship, as was suggested by Sahadev, the youngest of the Pandavas, Sahadev. So, in order to prevent a big disturbance, Krishna decided that it was time now for Shishupal to return to his original position. And so, when Krishna took out his Sudarshan Chakra and decapitated Shishupal, everyone saw something quite amazing. They saw the Atma, the soul of Shishupal, like a meteor, entered the body of Krishna. So it was very astounding. So it seems that Narada Muni was right near Yudhisthira. And so Yudhisthira asked Narada Muni, "Can you explain anything about this? What is this that we have just seen?" So Narada Muni explains to Yudhisthira how Shishupal, this was his third birth, that he had been killed by God. In his previous birth, he was known as Ravan, and he was killed by Lord Ramachandra. And then prior to that, he was known as Hiranyakashipu, and he was killed by Lord Narsingha, whose appearance day we are honoring and celebrating today. So, Narada begins to tell the story of how Jayavijaya, their first birth, as Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. So, in the third canto is the description of how Hiranyaksha was killed by Lord Varaha. I'm testing to see how much you know. He was killed by Lord Varaha. So Hiranyakashipu is actually his elder brother, even though Hiranyaksha was born first. Huh? Yes, because they were twins. But Hiranyakashipu was conceived first. So in Vedic, the conception is actually where you start counting. Just like Prabhupada, his age, he calculated his age from the moment of conception, not when he came out of his mother's womb. So Hiranyakashipu was conceived first, therefore he is the elder brother, even though Hiranyaksha was born first. So when Hiranyaksha was killed by Lord Varaha, Hiranyakashipu did the funeral ceremony. And he gave an excellent lecture on Vedic knowledge. If you were to read that section in the Bhagavatam, you would want Hiranyakashipu to give the Sunday feast lecture tomorrow. He spoke just like Bhagavad Gita, talking about you're not the body, how you're eternal spirit soul, and to lament is an illusion, and we should just simply carry out our prescribed duties. Problem is, Hiranyakashipu doesn't believe a word he's saying. Because he's a politician. Never trust politicians. As you all know now, your infamous governor. Hope he's not listening. So, Hiranyakashipu performed the funeral ceremony, and afterwards, he told everybody, I am going to avenge the death of my brother. It appears that Lord Vishnu is not impartial because he has taken the side of the demigods and has killed my brother. And I love this description. He says, my brother, who was so fond of drinking blood, as if that's a great qualification. He was so fond of drinking blood. I will search out Lord Vishnu and I will slay him. So, of course, Lord Vishnu knows everything. So Lord Vishnu was in anxiety. He was in anxiety because he was thinking, okay, wherever I go, this Hiranyakashipu is going to be looking for me, and I have to figure out some way to deliver him. He wasn't in an anxiety out of fear. Lord Vishnu, nobody can kill Lord Vishnu. But he was in anxiety how he was going to deliver Hiranyakashipu. So Lord Vishnu said, wherever I go, he is going to be chasing me. Where can I go where he won't find me? And of course the Lord said, aha, he's a demon. A demon always looks outside of himself, not within. A demon never thinks, I'm the problem. The demon thinks, you're the problem. So Lord Vishnu said, I'll go inside his heart. He'll never look for me there. So when Hiranyakashipu inhaled, Lord Vishnu subtly entered his nostril, entered his breathing, and kept himself hidden in the heart of Hiranyakashipu. So Hiranyakashipu went all over the universe looking for Vishnu. He couldn't find, so he said, he must have died. That was his conclusion. Then Hiranyakashipu decided, now I want to be the topmost person in the whole universe. I want to control everything. I want everyone to worship me, Hiranyakashipu. So he was intelligent. He said, ha-ha, Lord Brahma, the chief person, has achieved his position by great austerities. I will outdo that. So Hiranyakashipu stood on his tippy toes like a ballerina, and he had his hands outstretched like this and simply maintained that pose for years and years and years and years. So much so that all kinds of insects were eating the flesh of Hiranyakashipu. But he didn't give up his life there. And after a while, there was no flesh, only skeleton. And the whole skeleton was covered by an anthill. But there was a problem. Fire was coming out of his skull. And that fire was disturbing all the devatas in the higher planetary systems, and they were very, very worried, because the devatas know that if somebody does severe austerities, they may lose their positions. And we have seen so many examples. Indra, when he finds out somebody is doing austerities, Indra gets worried. Wait a second. He may kick me out of my, he does something to distract the person doing the austerities. So all the demigods were feeling this heat generated by Hiranyakashipu. So they all went to Lord Brahma. They said, this Hiranyakashipu, he wants to become so powerful. Please do something. We're all can't tolerate this heat anymore. Do something. So Lord Brahma, he rides on what? The Mercedes? What kind of carrier? Swan carrier, yes. And how could he find Hiranyakashipu? The fire coming out of the anthill. So, Lord Brahma has a pot, kamandulu. And in that pot is transcendental water. So he took, just like we were doing with the Achman cup, so he sprinkled some transcendental water on the anthill. And out came Hiranyakashipu, but now he has a new body, rejuvenated. A body that can withstand Indra's thunderbolt. Indra's thunderbolt is the invincible weapon, but now he has a body that's invincible. No weapon. So Hiranyakashipu offers complete dandavats, obeisances to Lord Brahma, and praises him and glorifies him. And Lord Brahma, because when you're in that position, when you're a big demigod, you have to give benedictions if somebody performs the required austerities. So Lord Brahma said, so what do you want? And Hiranyakashipu said, I want to become immortal. Lord Brahma said, no can do. I myself am not immortal. How can you give somebody something you don't have? No es posible. So Hiranyakashipu said, all right, I don't want to die by any creature created by you. Brahma said, tatastu. Of course, he didn't have a bell. But this is the modern adaptation. I don't want to die by any weapon. I don't want to die in the day and the night. That's why we're fasting till dusk. Blame it on Hiranyakashipu. I don't want to die inside or outside. So he gave up so many conditions. Not by this, not by this, not by this. Hiranyakashipu thought that he had every angle conceivably covered. He had an ironclad contract. Because every request, Brahma said, yes, it is granted. I give it to you. So then Brahma leaves. And now Hiranyakashipu is the most powerful man in the whole universe. And everybody has to submit. All the demigods, even Narada, has to submit and recognize Hiranyakashipu. Only three persons were not under Hiranyakashipu's rule. Who do you think they were? Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh. Very good. I see that this crowd is highly enlightened. So I will ramp it up a notch. Because you have to preach according to the audience. So I see, but I also have to take care of the kids too. So don't worry, kids. I'll take you into consideration. Everybody chant the Maha Mantra.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So now that he has all this power, what does Hiranyakashipu do? Now he's sitting on the throne of Indra, and all the sacrifices and everything is coming to him. He's now the enjoyer. And not only that, because he hates Lord Vishnu, keep that in mind, even though he has done all this austerity, and even though he has become the most powerful man, still he's consumed with anger and rage. He still hates Lord Vishnu for killing his brother. So how, he's thinking, how can I cause harm to Lord Vishnu? The way to do that? Persecute devotees. Persecute Brahmins. Kill cows. Because these things represent Lord Vishnu. In other words, you represent Lord Vishnu. So that's why we offer respects, because you represent God. God is in your heart. So we offer respects to God in your heart. But because you're a devotee, you are a representative of God. Just like my wife sometimes gets on my case. She goes, why are you doing this? You represent Srila Prabhupada. You cannot do like this. And I go, yeah, okay, sure. But I'm glad she does that. I'm glad because, yes, by her getting on my case, I become a better devotee. So husbands, right, ladies?
Yes.
You like me now? When your wife gives you an instruction, you might want to consider it because it might be for your own good. Am I right, ladies?
Yes.
Yes. Don't worry, man. I'll get it back. Don't worry. I'll even it out. If not today, tomorrow. So, Hiranyakashipu turns the whole universal system upside down. Everything is disturbed. So now again, the demigods are, they don't know what to do. The whole management of the universe is topsy-turvy. So, the demigods and Lord Brahma, they go to see Lord Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu says, yes, I'm well aware of everything. Not to worry. Everything in due course of time. Lord Vishnu says, Hiranyakashipu will go on for some time with his sinful activities, but he will make one big mistake. He will have a son. And that son will be my devotee. And when he terrorizes my devotee, that will be it. That will be the sign that his reign of terror comes to an end. So when they hear this from Lord Vishnu, Brahma and the demigods, they are satisfied. So Hiranyakashipu, how is he living? It is said that Hiranyakashipu's eyes were always coppery red. How do you get coppery red eyes? Drinking. Not by staying up and studying, no. You get coppery red eyes when you're always drinking liquor and wine. And that's what Hiranyakashipu, he was always drinking. There's a side note. In the fourth canto, the story of Prithu. When Prithu is milking Mother Earth, so all the different categories, they're milking the earth. So just like the devotees, our amrita is milk, right? For devotees, amrita is milk. Of course, ahimsa milk. I know the whole politics now. Ahimsa milk. Has that controversy reached here? Yes, it's all over ISKCON. Ahimsa milk. I'm not going to get into that. Not now and not never. That's for the GBC. Okay. So, it is said in the fourth canto that the demons made Prahlad a calf. And what did the demons get as their amrit? Liquor and wine. So now you know who's a demon. Somebody who likes to go and drink liquor. Now you know, that's his Amrita. You don't drink liquor, right?
No.
No, because you are devotees. You're not a demon. But demon, right now, there are demons. Where are they? In the clubs, at home, in the bars, drinking. And tonight they're going to watch some fight. Two big demons fighting. Who can be the superweight, heavyweight demon of the world? Hey, shh. We're devotees. We don't partake in this nonsense. So, Hiranyakashipu is always intoxicated, and his very name, Hiranya, what is he like? Gold, material opulence, sense gratification, and Kashipu, soft bed. So that means he's also licentious. He has no control over his senses. He's simply enjoying, and after all, he's the supreme person in the universe. Everybody is kowtowing to Hiranyakashipu. Then, one day, Hiranyakashipu, because he has enjoyed for so long, he's lost some of his potency. So again, he returns to do austerities. Because when you engage in wanton sense gratification, you lose some of your potency. So to build it up, you again do some austerities. So when he was again doing some austerities, his wife, Kayadu, was pregnant. And the demigods, headed by Indra, they said, we have to do something. Because when Hiranyakashipu went off to do some austerities, the demons fled. So the demigods were able to capture Kayadu. And they were going to wait and kill the child in her womb. So as they were dragging Kayadu, they were going to wait till he gave birth. She gave birth and they were going to kill the child. All of a sudden, they were stopped by Narada Muni. And Narada Muni told the demigods, no, what are you doing? You cannot touch this woman. You have no right to do this. Besides that, you want to kill the child coming out thinking that he's a demon, because that's what they thought. They used the philosophy like father, like son. That was their thinking. So Narada told them, no. Even if you tried to kill this child, you would not be able, because he's a devotee. And you all know from Bhagavad Gita, what's that line? Name bhakta parna. Very good. You got your ding for today. Yes, very good. So the demigods, they respected Narada Muni. So they paid their respects. So now Kayadu, what she's going to do, she wants to have the child and she wants to wait for her husband to return. So Narada takes her to his ashram. Now, normally this would not be allowed. But because Narada is in a transcendental position, it was not wrong for him to take Kayadu to his ashram so that she could wait to deliver the child. Because he's transcendental, above the modes of nature, there was no difficulty. So while Kayadu is in Narada's ashram, Narada is giving her lessons on Krishna consciousness, bhakti yoga. And the child in the womb is listening to everything that Narada is telling the mother. So this is another point. When ladies, when you have a child, when you're pregnant, be very careful what you expose yourself to. Because whatever you're eating, that is going to affect the child. whatever you're hearing and seeing, that also affects the child. So, Prahlad was hearing very, very carefully all the instructions of Narada. Unfortunately, Kayadu, she was not as, you could say, fortunate. Sri Sri Gaurinitaya ki jai, Nisringa Bhagavana ki jai. Kayadu was not so fortunate, so the instructions went one ear out the other. They didn't stick. But Prahlad, those instructions, it stuck with him. So when he came out, he was already self-realized, pure devotee. And there's a description in this seventh canto how Prahlad was, even at a young age, experiencing samadhi. And there's one description that sometimes Prahlad would feel Krishna's hand on his hand. Who would like that? Yes, wouldn't that be great? Krishna touching your hand? Wow. So this tells you how great Prahlad is as a young child. So Hiranyakashipu was a good father, and he wanted to send his son to the finest school, the school of demons. Because Hiranyakashipu also had an acharya, Shukra Acharya. He's very, very powerful. And his two sons, the Shanda and the Marka, they had this Brahmin school. So Prahlad and all the other sons of the demons were going to this school, and they were supposed to learn how to become first-class materialists. They were being taught everything that your kids are going to learn when they go to high school and college. Because unfortunately, the United States of America and the whole world is actually following Hiranyakashipu. That's Sampradaya. So after some time, Hiranyakashipu calls his son, Prahlad! Yes, father. Come, sit on my lap. He smells Prahlad's head because that's very refreshing. We talked about that last night. So Hiranyakashipu says to Prahlad, Prahlad, I've sent you to this school. Tell me now, my son, what is the best thing you have learned? And Prahlad says, someone like you, who is addicted to sense gratification, who is in the deep well of household life, you should go to the forest. Actually, you should go to Vrindavan and renounce this world of sense gratification. Hiranyakashipu can't believe what's coming out of his son's mouth. He looks at the two Brahmins, Shanda and Amarga. What are you teaching my son? Whoa. He's not learning this from us. Maybe there's some devotee, some Hare Krishna devotee that's doing something. He's not learning this from us. So Hiranyakashipu says to, okay, take my son, be very careful, train him properly. I want him to become like me, first class demon. So the teachers, they take Prahlad, and now they tried their best to really train him how to become like Hiranyakashipu. So after some time, again, Prahlad! Yes, father. Now, my teachers assure me that you have learned everything. Now tell me, what is the best thing you have learned? And the boy says, Sravana Kirtana Smarana Vandana Pada Sevana Dasyare Pujana Sakki Janatma Nived. Of course, that's Bengali. He didn't speak Bengali. He spoke Sanskrit. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmanavedanam. But what did Prahlad say after that? This is the topmost education. And Prabhupada said, in my opinion, not what I'm being taught by these teachers, what I know from my spiritual master, Narada, this is the topmost thing, devotional service. And he even uses the word Vishnu Smarnam. When he hears that word Vishnu, Hiranyakashipu can't believe that he is uttering the name of the enemy. And Prahlad says other things to Hiranyakashipu, saying, you will never understand this Krishna consciousness, either by yourself or with the help of others, because the only way you can understand Krishna consciousness is to take the dust of a pure devotee and get his blessings. That's how you come to Krishna consciousness. That's how you understand, not by academic study. So Prahlad said so many things to his father, and his father pushes him off his lap. He's angry now that you're not my son anymore. You are speaking on behalf of the enemy. You're not my son. So he calls his servants, take this boy, punish him. Punish him. Torture him. He's no longer my son. So the servants come and they surround Prahlad, and they have lances and spears, chindi bindi, chop them up and pierce them, chindi bindi. But they try to poke Prahlad, nothing happens. Okay? Put them in a snake pit, the snakes don't bite. They put them in a pot of boiling oil, Prahlad Pakora. Nothing happens to Prahlad. They threw him off a cliff. The picture is there. Prabhupada's picture is there. Krishna is there to capture him. They threw him under the feet of an elephant. The elephant with his trunk takes Prahlad, puts it on his head. No matter what, and then Hiranyakashipu asks for Prahlad's plate of food. And he puts poison in the food. What does Prahlad do? Nama Om Vishnu Pada. He offers the food with the poison, eats it, nothing happens. So after attempt, after attempt, after attempt, Hiranyakashipu now is furious. He has decided, now I must kill my son myself. All these other, I will kill him. Prahlad! Yes, father. Where do you get your powers to defy me? I love playing Hiranyakashipu because I can identify with him. I came in his sampradaya, but Prabhupada changed me. But originally I come from that, what was that? Gotra, the Hiranyakashipu, Gotra. So Prahlad answers his father, the source of my strength is the source of your strength, the source of everyone's strength, God. When Hiranyakashipu hears this, he goes, Prahlad, what is this nonsense? God. There is no God. I am God. Hiranyakashipu, you should worship me. Prahlad says, no, you are not God. God is Vishnu. Krishna. So Hiranyakashipu goes, Prahlad, you're just a five-year-old ignorant boy. Where is this God of yours? And Prahlad says, my God is everywhere. Just like we say Vasudeva. Everybody say
Vasudeva.
Vasudeva. One meaning of Vasudeva means that God is all-pervasive and he's conscious of himself being all pervasive. That's one meaning. There are another meaning you all know, son of Vasudeva. So when Prahlad says that God is everywhere, Hiranyakashipu goes, ah, Prahlad, ah, your God. Okay, Prahlad, if your God is everywhere, is he in this pillar? And Prahlad could see Nrisimha, said, yes, of course. My God is in the pillar. Hiranyakashipu draws his sword, Watch, Prahlad. I will kill your god. Then you will bow down and worship me. So Hiranyakashipu takes his sword and strikes the column, and he hears this sound. Roar! A sound that he had never heard in his life. And he's, what is, what? And then appears Lord Nrisingha, and he's angry. He has big nails, and his eyes are angry. He has the head of a lion. He's half man, half lion. It would make a great movie. You know, did any of you see that movie Avatar? Yes. I wish that guy, and of course he'd have to consult with me, but we would do this Nrisingha, and that would be really with three, and it had to be in 3D, right? And make it a 4-hour movie, right? And then any of the money I make, we'll give to ISKCON. I have to get my cut for being the advisor. So if he's watching on the internet, call me. Let's do lunch. So Hiranyakashipu and Nrisingadev start their war dance. And Nrisingadev plays with Hiranyakashipu like a snake plays with a mouse. What does a snake do? He swallows the mouse, lets him go. The mouse scurries, up, captures him again, lets him go. Back and forth. And finally, the snake eats the mouse. So in the same way, Lord Nrisingha would capture Hiranyakashipu and let him go. And Hiranyakashipu would think, okay, he's afraid of me now. I'll get him now. And sometimes Hiranyakashipu would try to grasp the Lord, but the Lord would be outside his grasp. So this went on for some time because he had to wait for that time. Because what was one of the bhikshans, one of the blessings? Not day, not night. At dusk, right. So at the right time, after the fight is going on, at the right time, Lord Nrisingadev situates himself in the doorway. Not in, not out. And he puts Hiranyakashipu on his lap. Not land, not water, not sky. And how does he kill him? Not with any weapons, just with his nails. Are you going to send a soldier out to fight with his nails? No, I don't care who you are. You're not going to go fight ISIS or anything else. I just have my nails. No. But the Lord can fight with his nukka. Nukka. So he can fight with his nails. So at the right moment, Lord Nrisingha, in anger, gouges out the intestines of Hiranyakashipu and puts it around himself like a garland. A garland of Hiranyakashipu's intestines. Then Lord Nrisingha takes Hiranyakashipu's heart and rips it out and throws it on the ground because Hiranyakashipu's heart is so evil and sinful. So he throws it on the ground. And then he takes Hiranyakashipu and throws him off his lap. But he's still roaring. He's still angry. And then all of the soldiers of Hiranyakashipu, they come. They're coming to fight. So Lord Nrisingha assumes a huge form. And again, just with his nails, he kills all the soldiers of Hiranyakashipu. And he's sitting on the throne. And he's still roaring. Brahma, the demigods, they come. They have to calm down Nrisingha because this is too much. He's too angry. So Brahma comes and offers prayers. Lord Shiva comes. Indra comes. All different kinds of demigods and personalities of the universe come to calm Lord Nrisingha down, but he's still roaring. So Lord Brahma says to Lakshmi, you go. He's your husband. Go. Lakshmi says, I have never seen him like this. So here you go, men. Ladies, when the husband's angry, let him be. Because he might turn into Lord. Okay, are we even now? Okay. I get a ding. So, Lakshmi is afraid to go. So there's Prahlad with a garland. So Lord Brahma says, go, do something. So Prahlad puts the garland on Nrisingha, the killer of his father. And then Prahlad offers his prostrated obeisances. And when Nrisingha sees Prahlad, he calms down. Shanta Nrisingha. Up until this time, he's been Ugra. But now he's Shanta Nrisingha. I love it when... Can you guys do it for me? You Indian people, when you do Shanti, do that. I love it. I love it. I love it. Nobody can beat you guys on that. When you guys do that Shanti thing, or when you do that, you know, that the Bengali thing, that just takes my heart. I go, okay. That's why I joined this movement. For the Shanti Shanti and the... Great. Americans can't top that. So, Lord Nrisingha takes his hand and puts it on Prahlad's head. He's so pleased with Prahlad. And Prahlad stands up and offers a stream of 43 prayers. The verses in the Bhagavad Gita usually are very short. But Prahlad's verses, long verses, and such wonderful statements. Tomorrow night, I'm going to speak on the verses that of Prahlad's verses that I like the most. I picked out about three or four of them. So come back tomorrow for the Sunday feast, and I'll talk on my favorite of those 43 prayers of Prahlad. So after Prahlad offers his prayers, Lord Nrisingha tests Prahlad and says to Prahlad that you should take a benediction because you worship me, you serve me, you had to tolerate so much suffering, torture, so take a benediction. Prahlad says, my Lord, am I a merchant? Do I worship you to get something in return? I'm not a businessman. Vanik. Prahlad says, you're my lord. I am your servant. Boss, finish. That's enough. There's no need of any other thing. You are the master. Naturally, you're my master. And I am naturally your servant. So then, Lord Nrisingha benedicted Prahlad, and when Prahlad finally asked for something, Prahlad said, if I must take a benediction, then I pray that no more in my heart there'll be any more material desires. That is the perfect topmost prayer. No more material desires. So the Lord wanted Prahlad to become the ruler of the Daityas. And he told Prahlad not to worry. You simply think of me, remember me, worship me. You'll not be disturbed by being the king of the Daityas. And then Lord Nrisingha instructed Prahlad to perform the funeral ceremony for his father, so that his father would get some kind of betterment in the next life. And then before Lord Nrisingha left, he told Lord Brahma, don't give these kinds of benedictions again because they simply indulge the demons. After all, he had to keep all the benedictions intact So that's why sometimes I tell people, if you're praying to Krishna, keep it simple. Because if you have a whole laundry list, then Krishna's got to go, okay, wait, I got to do that, that, that. It may take you 200 lifetimes. So if you have a prayer, keep it short. You have a much better chance of getting it fulfilled quickly. All right. So we'll talk more about Prahlad tomorrow. I promised my good friend, is it Hitesh? Is that who I promised? Is Hitesh here? Ritesh? Where is he? He's not here? I'm going to do this song for him. He's not even here. He can hear? Oh, all right. Oh, then the better half. It says it in the Bhagavatam. It's not my opinion. Wife is the better half, right, ladies? It says right there, Lakshmi is the better half of Narayan, and the wife is the better half of the husband. So, be nice. So, this was the song Hitesh wanted me to sing. In a second. Okay, now, I got to get the right. Everybody chant Japa.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare.
One more time.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
And one last time. Hold on. Didn't change. Hold on. It's not working. Technology. It's the fourth miserable principle. You adiatmic, adidaivic, adibodhik, aditechnic. That's the fourth misery. And then there's a fifth one. There's a fifth one. You know what the fifth misery is? Adi airplane. My sweet Lord, oh my Lord, ooh my Lord, I really wanna see you, really wanna be with you, really wanna see you, Lord, but it takes so long, my Lord, my Lord. My sweet Lord, oh my Lord, I really wanna know you, really wanna go with you, really wanna show you, Lord, that I hope it won't take long, my sweet Lord, oh my Lord. My Lord, my sweet Lord, I really want to serve you, though I don't deserve you, really want to serve you, Lord, and I hope it won't take long. Are you ready? Let's chant, everybody. Hare Krishna. Come on, everyone. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, keep going, keep singing. You can call him Allah. You can call him Buddha. You can call him Jehovah. Call him Adonai. Why, you can even say Nasringa. Lakshmi Nasringa. Say any name of the Lord. It's all the same to clap your hands and sing. My sweet Lord, God. Oh, my Lord. Ooh, my Lord. My sweet Lord. Talking about my Lord, God. Oh, my Lord. My sweet Lord. Oh, my Lord. Talking about my Lord. Thank you. Now it's time for Arti. All rise and worship. Shanta Nasringa. Jai. Yeah.